You are listening to The Locker Room on Spirit Live. Hey, how is it going, everyone? This is kind of new. This is the first episode of The Locker Room, a music podcast that brings you through a different perspective to music, mainly hip-hop and R&B that you have not heard before. And hopefully, you will enjoy it and stay for many more episodes to come. I am your host, Nakeem Khan. Alongside me is my co-host, Malik M3. Malik Maytamarera. Malik, how are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. Fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. Four.
Fantastic indeed, just like how I am. And this is the first episode of season one of The Locker Room. I am more than excited to be able to just talk about music. I mean, me and Malik, we're going to get into our introductions, but we love music, hip-hop, R&B, just all genres. I literally listen to any type of genre of music. Doesn't matter. If it sounds good, I'm going to listen to it. Maybe not EDM. That's just not my cup of tea. But I guess it's only right that we start things off by just giving a little introduction of ourselves. And Malik, you know what? Let the floor be yours. Tell the people about you, who you are, what you like listening to. Let's hear it.
Got you. Well, my name is Malik Maytamarera, aka Malik M3, like Nakeem said. Nakeem and I are both from Toronto. And, you know, when we first started this podcast, we didn't really, we got into it right away and we didn't really know that we related this much. But when we started talking about music, we were like, wow, we almost listen to the same type of music, but we bring different flavors. So it was really cool that we started this up. And this is our first season at Ryerson University Spirit Live. So it's an absolute pleasure to make this alongside my boy Nakeem. And, you know, I love all kinds of hip hop. I grew up listening to a lot of old school. A lot of people call me an old head because of my influences from mainly my mom's side of the family. My dad's side, I listened to a lot of old school 80s, 90s Spanish music. But my mom's side, it was all hip hop, all R&B, all jazz, everything like that, you know, from the likes of Lauryn Hill, Amy Winehouse, Tribe Called Quest, Big L, all those cool cats, you know, all my mom's family was on that. And, you know, I didn't really grow up listening to all the new music. Like my era is kind of like, well, I listen to a lot of my era music more often now, but I didn't grow up listening to, you know, the Chief Keefs, the Fetty Waps. I didn't listen to Kanye right away at all, or I didn't even listen to Drake right away. Probably when Drake was just in the peak of his career, I started listening to Drake. Nakeem probably listened way before, but I definitely old school is my number one. But yeah, I like listening to all types of music. I'm open to anything, but hip hop is my main. I'm very passionate. I listen to all the new releases every week, and yeah, love sharing my knowledge of hip hop with the world, even though maybe I don't know as much as everyone else, but I'll share my cup of tea with you guys anytime.
And I like that though, because there's like a lack of people our age who are so into that older, you know, the history of hip hop and all that stuff. So when I met Malik and this guy's like singing songs, not just from Biggie, but like older artists, you know, like he's digging deep. And if you guys are curious and you guys, you know, are like, I want to listen to some old school hip hop and rap, hey, we got you covered. This is a little shameless plug. Malik has set up a lot, and I mean a lot, of Spotify playlists that you can find and follow and check out. The link to it is in our YouTube channel. If you search up The Locker Room and you go to the About section, you'll be able to find all of those playlists are there, and you can enjoy till your desires are fulfilled. But me and Malik have different music journeys to where we ended up being introduced to rap and hip-hop. As I said, as Malik introduced himself, I'll introduce myself. My name is Nakeem Khan. I'm also a student at Ryerson University, live in Toronto. I come from a West Indian background, and obviously that's like a lot of Caribbean music. Never really was hip-hop being played at a young age. I really used to just listen to what was on the radio, and that was like pop music. And I wasn't really that enamored into music, but it became like what my friends will listen to. I will listen to as well. All my friends listen to, you know, Rich Homie Quan when he was coming up. So I listened to Rich Homie Quan, you know, so it's just one of those things. Then after I started, you know, trying to listen to music myself, and I kind of fell in love with lyrical rap. And that was how I really got into rap and hip hop, and just finding lyrical rappers and, you know, hearing rhyme schemes. Those are the things that made me used to just like, ooh, how did he just rhyme that with that? And the way he flowed while rhyming. I love that stuff. But now here I am. I've expanded my music. I used to just listen to rap and hip hop. Now you could catch me listening to alternative music, pop punk, any type of, with someone with amazing vocals and a guitar in the background. Love that. And then maybe on a few occasions, I'd be listening to my anime openings while walking to school. You know, Japanese music, amazing. I can see why people in that section of the world, and even here, love the foreign music, you know, J-pop, K-pop, all of that stuff. But
yes, sir,
we are a rap and hip-hop podcast, and I think it's only right that we introduced ourselves. Now we got to look into, you know, you guys probably wondering, okay, they like rap and hip-hop, but what artists, what do they like? Well, we're going to get into our personal top three albums of all time. This is a hard one because there's a lot, and I mean a lot of good albums. Malik, I know this was hard for you. I was on call with Malik just a while ago, and he was trying to figure these out, and Malik was stressing, and I mean with a capital
word is stressing.
But we're gonna go from number three up to number one. Malik, would you like to go first, or should I go first? Let's hear.
I'm scared. I think you should go first.
Ah, okay. All right.
I'll like to hear your list. You know, it'll give me some peace.
I'll harmony. Take the baton. And my list, these are going to be very different. You could tell the type of listeners we are just by how different these lists are. But at number three, he's one of the best to ever do it. Not even just rap, but in music in general. And I personally think it's his best body of work. Some people will say it's an earlier project, but I'd have to go with Nothing Was the Same by Drake. I think that was the first full body project I've ever heard from Drake. And I was just like, what the? Some low key songs, you know, come through. 305 to My City. Love Furthest Thing was amazing when I heard that. Love Furthest Thing. Oh. I love when Drake goes into that, like, the melodic, like, rapping, but it's not like hard rap. It's like that, like, you know, soulful rap. Like, From Time is one of the songs I could just like chill and just rap the entire song to and just be vibing. And it's like one of those vibes that's just like uncomparable. But that's what I would have to have at number three. I just think it just like resonated with me. And especially because like I listened to it in high school, and when I was going through whatever I was going through in high school, it really was something that I could fall back on. And I'm like, yo, I can relate to this guy. And even now, I'm in university. I listen to it. I can relate to this guy. And that's one thing that Drake does good. He makes music you can relate to. That's why he's one of the GOATs.
But man, that, you know, when I started listening, Nakeem is probably a much bigger Drake fan than me. But when I started listening to Drake, man, I was like in between the mold of Nothing Was the Same. And If You're Reading This, It's Too Late. Those albums really got me into Drake. And I was like, wow, I'm here. And you know, he's ripping the city, he's ripping the six. So I respect that. I love that choice. Great choice, bro.
I appreciate it. But I'm intrigued to hear what you got at number three, because I have absolutely no idea.
Very different. Very different. But number three, I got one of my favorite artists, rest in peace. I got MF Doom, Operation Doomsday. Oh. That's my number third spot. Did any of the old heads know that MF Doom created like a new type of boom bap and rap? And you know, people like Joey Badass, Logic, Mick Jenkins kind of feed off of MF Doom's creativity. So MF Doom, I think his album came out in 1999. My favorite album. You could argue that Mad Villainy, the tape he did with Madlib in 2004 would be his best. You could argue that MM Food in 2004, but Operation Doomsday, always the first album, kind of the debut album for artists, is always my favorite. You know, he, you know, tracks like Doomsday with Pebbles and rhymes like Dimes, just like that boom bap, hard hitting. It almost seemed like every track was a freestyle. So the rest of peace, MF Doom, probably top five most underrated of all time. for me.
Definitely. I would definitely agree with you for that, for sure.
I'm viewing create a certain sound that I was just intrigued to. Like, I always listen to MF Doom when the sun is out because he kind of has those like summer type beats, like almost like what Coda the Friend does in New York right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes,
he,
yes.
He kind of has those type of beats, and I love it. And what it always does, I remember MF Doom used to release instrumentals to his albums as well, and I would always, when I was little, put them on and try to freestyle to them all the time. But like, I have a more of an old school flow than a new school flow for me. So Operation Doomsday, absolutely. And you know, I think the complete version recently came out on Spotify too, so I've been bumping. I grew up listening to this as a child. Love Operation Doomsday by MF Doom, one of my favorite albums of all time personally.
I love that. See, that's like the difference, you know, since like Malik grew up on hip-hop, and now there's probably someone listening to this like, I've never heard that project before. I know of MF Doom, but I've never actually listened to an MF Doom project. Hey, this is your sign to go listen to it. I personally haven't even listened to it. Like, that's the crazy thing about it. We're doing this podcast. I haven't even listened to that project, but I'm going to check it out, because if Malik messes it that much, and this isn't his top three, and Malik has listened to a lot, and I mean a lot of albums. Like I think I don't think he can remember all the albums he's listened to.
No.
To a lot of albums.
It's the same as you. Nakeem could go up and beyond just talking about, isn't that?
So that's actually a great one. And I like that. The boom bap, one thing is, that's one thing MF Doom, it's one of the pillars in hip hop, you know, that boom bap type of beat. It's so synonymous with different cities and different locations with that sound. You could think of New York. You could think of some places in LA with that boom bap. So love it, love it, love it. But going into number two, and since you just said number three, I think it's only right that you go into your second best album that you've ever listened to.
Oof, thank you very much. So now it's like you went to my childhood. Now we're going into this is my puberty album, I call it.
Your adolescent
this is my puberty album. Like, you know, when you go up and you're like, oh, okay, you go through the girls phase. You go through,
so this is definitely, this is definitely
go,
Forest
go through
Hills
all
Drive.
That so
definitely Forest Hills Drive.
Nope.
Oh, no.
Good one though. Forest Hills Drive is almost an honorable mention.
Yeah,
actually,
yeah.
I don't even have it on the list, but amazing album, J. Cole. But man, 2012, Chanel Orange, Frank Ocean. My number two.
Oh my goodness.
My number two. From start to finish, I think a couple tracks I've cried, because you know, puberty gets you in lots of places. Nakeem could even explain for yourself. Just, you know, growing up, going through certain transitions, like, wow, life hits you.
Yep,
full circle, like, wow, I'm a teen. So
Frank Ocean, then,
man,
Frank Ocean is still one of the greatest. But that project, and that's a debut album, no, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it's his debut streaming album. He had an album before that, but it wasn't in streaming services except for maybe like that Piff or YouTube.
Yeah.
But yeah, some people arguably say that Blonde is better.
Yeah, a lot of people say Blonde is better. Blonde is best work, but
I don't
I'm
argue.
Also I'm in the same boat as you with Channel Orange. I think that is so good. One of my favorite songs off of that project is Sweet Life. That is such a good song. One thing that people say is that Channel Orange gives off the vibe of summer, and Blonde gives off the vibe of winter. If that And I think that is one very good way of looking at it, because when I listen to Channel Orange, I just think about like a high school student, and it's summer, and you're going through the highs and lows of everything. You know, like, it's just like there's the good, there's the bad, but you're just going to summer vacation. That's just what comes with it.
Well,
and it's
beautiful. There, man.
It's beautiful. It's like a soundtrack.
It's like a soundtrack. It almost seems like the soundtrack of your life, but
exactly.
You're stepping into issues, and he's stepping into your shoes at the same time. I think I was in grade 7 when this album came out, so I was like a year away from going to high school.
Yeah,
I was like acting as like one of the older kids in elementary school. I was walking and getting into more sports and girls.
And this,
and
like, this is when you're getting into the feelings, and you're no longer looking at cooties anymore. This is like, wait, this girl beside me is actually kind of attractive.
What am I feeling
right now?
Say, yo, it's good, yo. So so man, top to bomb, this album,
beautiful.
This defined Frank Ocean's sound, and you know, as an artist, I hope that he comes back. There's rumors about album rumors about albums and mixtapes coming out, so hopefully he falls through. But tracks like Pink Matter, Andre 3000, Lost, Super Rich Kids,
Yeah.
Sweet Life, I've Been Thinking About You. Oh man.
Thinking About You, classic.
And also, there's that track, I forgot, there's like a bonus track with Tyler the Creator at the end, but I forgot what that track
I
was
can't
called,
remember the
but
name either.
I can't remember. But man, not only do I relate to this individually, but this is one of my mom's favorite albums as well. So when this comes on, my mom and I know all the words. We sing together in unison, everything. So it's like,
It makes it even better. The icing on the cake.
so number two, Frank Ocean, Chanel Orr. Shout out Frank fans.
Love. This goes into my number two, which
Ooh.
is from someone who dropped an album this year in 2021.
Oh,
And
this is it.
Malik probably already knows who it is because he knows how much I love the albums that are in my top two. But number two, I'd have to say, is My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy by Kanye West. Now, that album is one of the most beautiful projects. And I think if you can take an album and somehow turn it into a piece of art, like a painting, it would have to be in like the highest museum that you could possibly get, the most prestigious, because Kanye has obviously been a revolutionary for so many things, but I think that project itself paved the way for so much things. You know, like I could list so many tracks when I listened to it. I remember listening to the first track, which was Dark Fantasy, starts off with Nicki Minaj in the beginning, and I'm like, what is this? And then it just the choir comes in, and it's just like this whole experience of like a different world that I'm in. You know what I mean? Like the world building within that album. And it's weird because usually albums don't really do that. It's like when you think about world building, you think about TV shows that kind of bring you into that world and make you feel like you're a part of it. I felt like I was living in a world that Kanye West built when I listened to that project. Songs like Runaway that were produced
Just about to
beautifully.
say that one.
Runaway was one of those songs where I just like wow, like how do you think of everything that you've done with the different like distortion and the voices and
Oof.
artistic approach to it? It's amazing. Devil in a New Dress, I believe.
Just about
Devil
to
in
say
a
that
New
one
Dress.
too. Oh my goodness.
Rick Ross has one of the best verses I've heard in his career. You could list so many tracks. Power, Gorgeous, So Appalled. Like I
Let's say
could
hi to the prince. Whew.
thought, yeah, oh, he could keep going on and on, but that project right there was what made me a Kanye West fan. And I'll always be a Kanye West fan just because of that project, because it's so close to me. I just think that it's one of the best pieces of art that has ever been created in music, and should be regarded as that. Even if you don't have any in your top three, it's just like one of the things you should acknowledge that this is one of the best albums that have ever been made. And I don't think there's a discussion about it. I think it's just a
Nope.
proven fact. But that for me is my second best album of all time.
Oh, it's a proven fact. And Kanye, right away, probably from only first album, even in Graduation, he's proven that he's a generational talent, and
Oh.
he's here to stay. Even when he gets older and eventually he retires, no one will stop listening to his albums. He's gonna get cash after cash after cash as people listening to albums. He's just good for life. So Kanye, generational talent. I started listening to him late, but I think one memory I have of Kanye is, I haven't been to many concerts, but
Oh, yes.
when I went to the Life of Pablo concert with my mom, it was the best concert I've been to in my life.
That just seems like an
That
experience.
Kanye, it was an experience I've never, like, I thought I was, it's like, when you, like, it's like you were high on music, if that's a term. It's like you're immersed. You're in another galaxy, another universe. But Kanye is a great performer, and I think after that, after seeing him live, probably I gained a lot more respect for him, for sure. Because I know sometimes he delays, and he definitely has his ways, he has his routines. But he sometimes he fulfills his promises, and he's a great performer. And sometimes it's worth it at the end. So I commend him for that, Kanye. I absolutely agree with you, bro.
And that Life of Pablo tour is like one of the best tours of all time. Like the stage in the air and everything. Like Kanye, when it comes to just vision, he has a vision, and it always turns out in such a unique way that I think is just beautiful. But
Yeah.
that project alone, amazing. And since I said my number two, I think
You can say you're number one.
I'll go into my number one. We did it
Go
that way
for it,
for you.
bro. Go for it.
This album.
This is it.
I could talk about this album for days, like not even just hours, for days. And when I say this album changed my life, I'm not even over exaggerating. This album literally changed my life. I believe I listened to this in grade nine. It was either grade nine or grade 10, but I believe it was grade nine because it did come out in 2015. And I was in, actually, no. Yes, I was in grade nine. It came out in 2015 and I listened to it actually in 2016. So it was like, I went into grade nine in 2015, 2016. Yeah. But wow. This project, my number one, is by my favorite rapper of all time.
Boy, that's a good one.
Malik already knows this because I've talked about it so much.
I'm going to cry.
To Pimp a Butterfly by Kendrick Lamar. This project, a lot of people say that Good Kid, Mad City is his best album. And I will agree that it is one of the best albums of all time as well. And maybe it is Kendrick's best album. But for me personally, To Pimp a Butterfly was just something else. I've never looked at music the same way after I listened to Pimp a Butterfly. I just looked at music as a bunch of songs that you just release. I didn't understand concept albums. I didn't understand messages and meanings to songs, you know, things like that. I listened to this project when I was going to, I remember vividly, I was going on a road trip to Florida and I heard some stuff about a guy named Kendrick Lamar, about him being a good rapper. And I was like, I never listened to him before. I'm on this road trip. Why not listen to this album? Because I have nothing else to listen to. So I downloaded it and I'm listening to it. And it starts off with Wesley's Theory. And I'm like, what is this? I'm like, this is some weird, weird song. I've never heard anything like this. And there was no type of 808s. This was all like natural instruments that throughout the whole entire project. And I'm listening, I'm like, whoa, this like has like a funk type to sound to it. And then at the end of every song, there was like a line of a poem. And I remember it's like, I remember you was conflicted. And I was like, what? And each song continued off with that poem. And
I was, I got, like, I just got goosebumps when you said
and,
that.
And I was like, whoa, like if I wasn't already intrigued to hear what the next song was, man. I wanted to hear what was the next line of the poem, because I was like, what is this? And you hear about this story about a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, and you hear these songs that basically is Kendrick Lamar and his life growing up and how he started off as like an immature, innocent caterpillar and then becoming a butterfly. And it's topped off with the song Mortal Man, which has an interview with Kendrick with Tupac. And it's one of the most beautiful, like, things I've ever heard in my life.
Like, wow.
The themes and the topics within the project, I was literally like just a kid, whatever. And when I listened to it, I'm like, you know what, I gotta look at life a different way. Songs like how much a dollar cost, I listened to that and I'm like, wow, like you really gotta think about things from a different perspective. And it really started that analysis point of view whenever I listen to music, especially lyricists, because I'm like, you know what, there must be a different meaning that isn't on the forefront of it. And that's what I got from Kendrick's project. And To Pimp a Butterfly is one of the most amazing things I think ever made, like art wise. I will agree there isn't like crazy replay value compared to like Good Kid, Mad City, because some songs you just can't listen to just like that. Maybe you have to be in the mood for it, or you have to listen to the whole project from start to finish. But each track fulfills the purpose of the album in such a way that if you were to take one away, the album just wouldn't be the same. And it's just methodical the way he was able to put it together. And it's crazy because he released Untitled Unmastered after, and Untitled Unmastered was literally a bunch of throwaways from To Pimp a Butterfly. And when we're listening to Untitled Unmastered, we're like, this is still an amazing project. These are throwaways from To Pimp a Butterfly. Like
throwaways.
Like, and what about the throwaways that weren't on Untitled?
And I'm still listening to them today, and they're in my track list.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But yeah, my favorite album of all time, no doubt about it, To Pimp a Butterfly, Kendrick Lamar.
You know, I'm just searching up what year it was because I want to find out.
It was,
you know,
2015, I believe.
When, right? I learned it, 2015, I was in second semester of grade nine,
yeah,
for sure. And man, this album, as much as this changed my life as well, and this changed my perception on how, you know, I want to see things and not take things seriously. And you know, when it comes to friendships, hardships,
this
album to listen to, absolutely, going through the motions, whether it's something going on in your personal life or family, or how you want to view life, the perception, you know, if you want to live life happier, plenty of opportunities, and you almost have to put in the work yourself. But at the same time, life is simpler than you think. So I kind of just thought that tracks like, obviously King Kunta
King
is
Kunta.
the track, almost a track for our generation too.
Yeah. Yeah.
To when, I remember when I saw the music video for I was like, whoa,
Oh,
look, Kendrick
I
and come.
forgot one of the best songs on it. You.
You,
You was
I and you's in the track.
you. When I heard that, I'm like, this, he really made me feel like I was listening to, I was watching someone like right in front of me deal with like a mental breakdown with like and drinking alcohol, and you could hear the different voice. Like I
Do
never knew a
that.
rapper could really rap and like change his entire voice like that. And I think Kendrick is a amazing at that. And he's considered King Kendrick for a reason. He really is the king.
He King Kendrick. He set the tone for, real rap and lyricism for our generation. We have a lot of
Definitely.
trap artists, but Kendrick alongside with J. Cole are definitely up there. We could say that. We could put Freddie Gibbs. We could go on and on in this
Yeah.
conversation. But man, tracks like, Mama, How Much a Dollar Costs, Complexion.
Complexion.
Oh, holy complexion. I knew you was conflicted. But that album, Nakim said a lot, To Pimp a Butterfly, beautiful, 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 beautiful album from start to finish.
And this only gets me intrigued because Malik, you've kind of given us a little taste. You got went with the MF Doom project. You went with the Frank Ocean project. Those are two different, time and eras that those released in. Is there like a pattern or something where you're number one? Let's hear it. What's your top album of all time?
All right, so my top album all time is the very first album I listened to in my life,
Whoo!
and it still sticks to me to this day. Every time my family and I put this album on, someone sheds a tear because it's like, wow, it's like, look how we grew up with this and we're still listening to it. My favorite hip hop group of all time, man. Like every time I think about this, it gives me like nostalgic goosebump feeling, because like how you feel for Kendrick, I'm like, damn.
Yes.
This album is not this album.
How I feel about Kendrick.
How you feel about
Damn.
Kendrick?
And then he said damn right
Damn.
after. Malik got the double, like he got the double entendres already,
That was good. That was good. They came always with double entendres, but yeah, man, this album was based in 1993. I remember back in the day, I was going to Sabo Beach, which is located, it's a Canadian beach. If you guys
Yeah.
don't know Sabo Beach, man, we would listen, me and my mom and dad would go. Amy Winehouse, Frank would come on the album, Frank Bagatelle. I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. Mary J would come on, and then my mom and dad's like, my uncles used to play this. They put it on. My album is Midnight Marauders by A Tribe Called Quest. My favorite album of all time. This album changed my life, man. I listened to this album when I was 7, 8 years old, and I've been listening to it ever since. I at least have to listen to three or four songs of that album every week in order to like function sometimes, because I'm like, I just love it too much. But not even that album, like a lot of In Tribe Called Quest discography, just amazing.
Yeah.
One of the best hip hop groups of all time. They were almost the first ones to create that boom bap type
Bap,
feel.
exactly. They were.
So they were so, ever from Q-Tip to the production, Fife Dog, everybody, just I love these guys, and they have a closeness to my heart that like I could almost relate to them. And I really want to meet these guys one day if they ever go on tour. Like they had that comeback album from 2016. We got it from here. Thank you for your service, I believe. If they got here, thank you. Yeah, thank you for your service. So, man, Midnight Marauders, from I'm just looking at the track list right now because I always want to play one. Like everywhere from, everyone's favorite is Electric Realization. That's probably still my favorite too. You got Midnight, you got a War Tour, Lyrics to Go, God Live Through, when you ended, and you start with Midnight Marauders tour guide. It's almost like you're immersed, like almost like, if you guys remember Logic's album, Incredible True Story, Logic actually got those, with that robot type of sound, when they're in the spaceship. He kind of got the influence from Midnight Marauders and Tribe Called Quest, because Tribe Called Quest used that type of robot sound to emphasize the theme of their albums all the time, going to like paradise, they would
Yes,
say.
yes,
So
yes.
man, the Tribe Called Quest, like every time I talk about them, I gotta listen to something all the time. So that album is my favorite of all time. Still been listening to it for six, 15, 16 years. Always, I gotta play in the whip. Gotta play with my parents, with my uncles. Everyone knows the tracks. I know most of the lyrics. So, yeah, that's my number one. Midnight Marauders, everybody. Oh, old school. I start with old school. I still stay with old school. That's number one.
I love that though. And the thing is with the Tribe Called Quest is that a lot of people, when they think about rap groups, like regular people, you know, things come to mind. NWA. Wu-Tang Clan come to mind right away. A lot of people for some reason don't know A Tribe Called Quest, and I'm like, how do you not know A Tribe Called Quest? Like, I'll talk to a bunch of my friends, they just don't listen to that type of music, but I'm like, hey, give it a chance, like give it a try. Like, I know Malik would definitely give you a 30-minute lecture right now on why you should listen to this album, but trust me, if you haven't listened to this project, listen to it and you are going to love it. I mean,
Tribe,
it's just a type of vibe, and it goes with the thing I was talking about earlier, that type of emotion that you get from it. And obviously there's nostalgia wrapped around it too, you know, like as I went and said about Kendrick, I could think about the exact place I was when I first listened to that project. Malik listed Sabo Beach, you know, just like this type of experience, you know. And trust me, when you guys listen to these albums, obviously these are not, you might not like all of them, for sure. You might not like all of them. It's,
oh, yeah, for sure. 100%.
Completely subjective.
Yeah.
But when you listen to at least one of these projects, they're going to be one of those ones that when you listen to that later on, you're going to be able to remember exactly where you were, what happened, temperature, this, that, and the third about what when you were listening to this album. And I think that's the beauty of music, that when you listen to a song, it could take you in a place in time that you completely forgot about, but it triggers this type of memory. You know what I mean? I listen to songs from Drake's Nothing Was the Same. I could think about when I listen to some songs, I could think about times where I was so sad. I was going through some like girl troubles or whatever it may have been, you know, it's like middle school stuff. Listen to Pimp Butterfly, thinking about, you know, the growth stages in my life, you know, listen to this, trying to become a better person. And this project right here by A Tribe Called Quest, I'm going to revisit it because I haven't listened to it in a while. So I'm going to revisit it. And trust me, I'm probably going to be bumping it. And one thing I loved about them is they always have such creative cover art. Like, I think that's such an underrated aspect when it comes to music, when albums, like their cover art is always fire. Always. Even their 2016 drop that you mentioned, that cover art was fire too.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah. Thank you for your service. It was a little cool comeback. I don't know. A lot of people were slamming it, but you know, as a Tribe Called Quest fan, you personally like it.
The fact that they came back and did something, like you can't knock someone for, you know, bringing new music, although it might not be what you might have liked. The fact that they still did it for the fans, you know, that's still something.
You know, I like when artists come back and they pay homage and they release like comeback albums. Like, I guess Jay-Z doesn't count, but when Jay-Z retired, he came back.
yeah. Jay-Z is one of those guys that we're definitely going to be talking about on this podcast. But that wraps up our personal top three albums of all time. Hopefully you were able to learn something about us and maybe been able to resonate with some of the things that we said. And maybe you do enjoy the albums that we listed. If you somehow have the same favorite albums as either one of us, or maybe you love, maybe your top three is Malik's, and then after that, up to six is mine, and you just happen to have the same top six that we listed, hey, make sure to message us somehow at, you know, our Instagram and Instagram pages, Nakeem Khan Malik,
M3-2001.
Hey, he listed it right there. But we're excited to get this podcast up and running. Next week, we're going to be looking into some of the things that have been going on in the music world this year.
Yes.
I know a lot of you already are thinking of two names that come to mind and a beef that has been lingering on for some time. Maybe we'll dabble on it. Maybe we won't. With that being said, that wraps up the very first episode of season one of The Locker Room right here on Spirit Live. We appreciate you all for listening to this. It's been your host, Nakeem.
It's been your second host, Malik.
And we shall see you guys in next week's episode.
Peace.